The subject of religion in America, and I want to make three very simple points about it. As the article that you are receiving is from the Buffalo News this past Monday, June the 23rd, this appeared. It is a very, very scientific study. This is the condensed version in the Buffalo News. One of our members, Brother Mike O'Mara, was kind enough to give me the longer version right here, which was in the USA Today, and I might allude to this a couple times here in the message, but about religion in America. And as you read it, and I hope maybe you'll read it at home, I just want to highlight a couple of the paragraphs today. A lot of it's political, and I'm going to try to avoid that. But as you read it, you'll find that America is a religious country, but a very confused country. The Bible says about our God in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not the author of confusion. Now, God's pretty simple. His ways are not complex. His salvation is easy. As we sang the men earlier, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. But there's a lot of confusion in our country about religion and about God. I think some of the good news, though, is found in the first paragraph, and I want to read that. It says, more than 90% of Americans, including one in five people who say they are atheists, believe in God or a universal power, and more than 50% pray at least once a day. According to the results of a poll released Monday that takes an in-depth look at America's religious beliefs. In the second column, the third paragraph down, it says, the study confirmed what is already known about the United States, that it is a deeply religious nation. This is a very scientific study. I have the USA Today's report here. This is over 36,000 people, which makes it very scientific. The plus margin of error is only 0.6 on a survey this large. So they consider this to be about 99.4% accurate. A scientific survey is anything with over 1,000 people polled, and those usually have a plus minus range of about 6%. For something that small as 1,000. This is 36,000 people. And this is very, very scientific sampling of what our country is like. The USA Today says actually 92% of Americans believe in God or some kind of a supreme power, and 56% pray to God or some deity every single day. We live in a very, very religious world, and I want to make three points. They're very simple points, and you can write them down maybe where you see them designated on your sheet if you're the type that likes to take notes. On the back of your sheet are a whole bunch of Bible verses, and many of them I'm going to be alluding to if time allows, so many that you obviously wouldn't be able to look them up fast enough. But I want to say today about this, number one, is that God has been working. God has been working. In a country that has been secular and humanistic in its educational system since the early 1960s, God has been working for us to live in a nation that where 92% of the people say there is a God and say that they believe in God. God is at work. Several years ago, in fact it was 2 years ago, I spoke on the subject of the seven witnesses of God. The seven witnesses of God. God is at work, not just in America, but all over the world by his seven witnesses. God witnesses in seven ways to this earth, or has witnessed in seven different ways to this earth, because he wants all men to be saved. The first way that he witnesses is through universal light. On the back of your notes, you'll notice some verses about this. It says in John 1 and verses 7 through 9, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. In other words, John the Baptist was not that light. but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that comes into the world, I don't care if it's a tribe out there in Africa or South America or somewhere where we've never even discovered, has received divine light from Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every boy, every girl that comes out of the womb comes out with some light that sets them to seeking for God. And Jesus is the light of the world. The second witness of God is that of nature. In Romans 2 and verses 14 through 15 it says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Now this is the second witness, and I'm sorry I got those out of order. It doesn't have to be any order to them. But the first is divine light. The second is the human conscience. The human conscience. God has written his law into the hearts of the human conscience. Even if the people are unsaved, or as it describes here using the word Gentiles, God has written, those that are unsaved know what is right and know what is wrong until somebody perverts their thinking. Or until somebody gets them accustomed to some sin or something, they know what's right or wrong. You ask unsaved people who've never known Christ as their Savior, do you think it's right or wrong to murder other people? They'll say it's wrong. They'll have some morals because God has already written his law in the conscience of every human being that comes to this earth. Even heathen and pagan nations that know nothing about the Bible or Jesus Christ have a set of laws and government and morals based on the Bible. Based on the Bible, because God has been working in every human being. And then there is the witness of nature. It says in Romans 1 and verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The sermon of nature that God has created is so powerful, it is so visible, that man is without excuse. Man cannot look at nature, man cannot look at creation, but say there must be a creator. There must be a creator who is very meticulous in details. There must be a creator who is very, very caring, who makes sure the earth spins around one time every 24 hours, who makes sure the earth wobbles on its axis at a certain degree, who makes sure the moon goes around at certain circuits to control the tides of the water coming in and out, and make sure the sun doesn't get too close to the sun, or the earth doesn't get too close to the sun that we burn up, or too far away that we freeze. It must be a meticulous God who is extremely concerned about his creation, who made all things. There's no other conclusion that you can make as you look at little flowers and hills and valleys and trees and birds and all the fish in the sea and the rivers and the streams and the seasons. There must be a creator who is meticulously concerned in the very details of every human being's life. This witness of creation is so powerful that God says there is not a person on earth who has an excuse. Has an excuse. He says, "Seek the Lord and he shall be found." Anybody on earth can seek the Lord and find the Lord. And there's the witness of his word. Psalm 68 and verse 11 says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all work." We need to get the word of God out. The witness of the word has spread into so many countries around the world, and translators have worked feverishly to get the Bible out. The King James Bible, over 1 billion of them have been printed and distributed around the Word of God, around the world, especially to the English-speaking people. There is the testimony of the written Word. One of the men that was in hell one time said in the book of Luke, he said, you know, if you'll just send somebody back from the dead, my brethren would believe. But the Lord said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They've got the written Word of God. Let them look to the Word of God. The written Word. And then there's the living Word, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1, in verses 1 through 3, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners has spoken times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God's Son came to this earth, and if my math is correct, God himself in the flesh walked on this earth for 12,060 days. Approximately 33 years and 5 months, God himself in the flesh walked on this earth as a witness for 12,060 days. God in the flesh. There's the witness of the living Word. And then there's the witness of the Holy Ghost. The witness of the Holy Ghost in John 16 and verses 8 through 11, it says, and when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin. What sin? Because they believe not on me, the unpardonable sin of not believing on Jesus Christ. Of righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness of Christ. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus is the righteousness of God the Father. And the Holy Spirit would reveal that righteousness to us, that unless you are as righteous as Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. And because none of us are, we must receive that righteousness by faith. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? The devil. What is his judgment? Hell. God didn't make hell for mankind. He made hell for the devil and his angels. So Jesus said in Matthew 25. So we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is witnessing to the world, not just a few chosen people. We're not Calvinists. He is convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then there's the seventh witness, the witness of the church. The witness of the church. Go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Some people say, what about those that have never heard? What about those tribes that have never receive the gospel? God is witnessing to them. God is witnessing to them, to the seven witnesses of God, so that they are without excuse. But somehow, I believe anybody who will seek the Lord, no matter where they are, I don't care if they're out in some tribe in South America or Africa or America, anyone who seeks the Lord will find him, because he promised, seek the Lord and he shall be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I base this assurance on prophecies about the future when it says this in Romans 5 and Revelation 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Somehow the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ is going to get to every tongue, every kindred, every people, and every nation. That's what the Bible says, Revelation 5, verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That answers to me the question, what about those that have never heard? I believe that if they'll seek the Lord, they'll find him. and that there will be people in heaven from every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people. I have to believe that because God said it. God said it. And that's why you and I need to get behind missions, because it's successful. I have never heard of a missionary that went to some place of the world and came back and said nothing happened. Every missionary we've ever sent out, whether they, maybe they just last for one term, but they'll come back and say, people got saved there. A church was planted there. The word of God got out there. God helped us. God helped us. You see, God has been at work. God has been at work. I want you to notice something else in this article. Number one, 92% of people believe in God. They might not believe in the right God, but they believe in God because God has been at work. God is working in our country. But I want you to notice the second paragraph. It says, the poll by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life also found that nearly 75% of Americans believe in heaven as a place where those who have led good lives will be eternally rewarded. Almost 60% believe in hell. I want to say, number one, God has been working. Number two, the devil has been working. The devil has been working in our country. There's some false doctrine in this paragraph right here. I want you to notice, too. The Bible says in the last days, and I believe we're living in the last days. Notice, if you will, in the verse I asked you to turn to, in 1 Peter and chapter number... 1 Timothy, and chapter number 4 and verse 1, it says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the, what, latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That word doctrines means teachings of devils. Seducing means feel good. The Bible says that in the latter times there will be a lot of feel-good doctrines that have been produced by seducing spirits, spirits, false spirits, ungodly spirits that are trying to seduce people, make them feel good. You know, a lot of the things you read, even in the newspaper, don't it make you feel good? 75% of Americans believe in heaven as a place where those who have led good lives will be eternally rewarded. And guess who thinks they've led good lives? Almost everybody. Well, I've led a good life. And a clergyman pats him on the head and says, well, you just live a good life and you'll be rewarded with heaven. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that seduce you? But it's all a lie. It's all wrong. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Solomon says, there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned. And yet 75% of our country believes that heaven is a place that they will be rewarded with if they lead a good life. Folks, heaven is not a reward, it is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One man asked Jesus one time, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, eternal life is not inherited. It is received, it is free, it's a gift you take. So the Lord got them lost. The Lord said, obey the commandments. He said, I've obeyed all these since I grew up. He said, oh yeah? He said, take everything you have and sell it and give it to the poor and come follow me. But the man left Jesus because he was covetous. He loved the world and the things of this world. And Jesus looked at him while he was walking away and his disciples were nearby. And as he was walking at that rich young ruler walking away from him, rejecting Christ, Jesus says, how hardly shall they that are rich enter into the kingdom of God? He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. Those trusting in riches to go to heaven. And the disciples were confounded. And they said to the Lord, who then can be saved? And the Lord said this, with men, it is impossible. Somebody says, Lord, I've been baptized. And he says, with men it's impossible. Someone says, Lord, I've led a good life all my life. The Lord says, it's impossible to save yourself. But I've given to charity. The Lord says, it's impossible to save yourself. But I've done good works all my life. It's impossible to save yourself. But I've taken the sacraments, I've given money, I've said prayers for the dead. It's impossible to save yourselves. And Peter said, who can be saved? Jesus said, with men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. My friends, if God don't save you, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. And 75% of our country, our dear America, thinks that if they'll lead a good life, they will be rewarded with heaven. It sounds like the devil has been at work. Sowing, as it says here in the Bible in the latter times, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look at 2 Timothy. And chapter 4, verse 2. Well, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. It's a fable that says you can save yourself. Notice the second thing about the paragraph. It says almost 60% believe in hell. Actually, the number is 59%. The devil has been at work in the fact that there are 41% of Americans who do not believe in hell. I know many believers struggling with the doctrine of hell. And yet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, spoke about it. It's been said he spoke about it more than he spoke about heaven. I'll just read one verse. He said in Matthew 25, verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. He spoke of it as eternal damnation. He spoke of it as fire. He spoke of it as darkness. He spoke of it as separation from God. He spoke of it as eternal. That's something where we are eventually annihilated, or our souls finally go to sleep. When God created man, he made him a living soul. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and made him a living soul, which literally means an undying eternal soul. If a soul should be annihilated, or if a soul should cease to exist, then God lied in Genesis when he said man's soul would be eternal. And all of you moms and dads and all of you grandmas and grandmas need to get extremely concerned about your children and your grandchildren, because you didn't just bring children into the world that you care for maybe 18 or 19 or 20 years. You brought an eternal soul into being that is going to exist somewhere forever, either in heaven or in hell, forever and ever and ever. And there's never going to come a time when God's going to say, you know, I think I'll just annihilate them. Allow them to go to sleep and let their souls cease. Revelation 20 and verse number 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them, notice the devil that deceived them, he's a deceiver, he's a liar, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is God's word. Now the devil is a liar. Notice on your notes there somewhere, if you'll find John 8 and verse 44, Jesus said two things about the nature of our adversary, the devil. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Folks, he's a murderer. The Bible says he lusts to kill in another text in John chapter 10 verse 10. Since the first family, Adam and Eve, the first two boys, Cain and Abel, the devil got into Cain, and the first family ever, there was murder in the family. Cain slew Abel. And since that time, to 2008, human beings have been killing each other. I Why is there so much murder in this world? Why is there so much war? Don't blame it on God. Jesus said, the lusts of your father you will do. He's talking about the devil. It was a murderer from the beginning. But notice the devil is not only a murderer, the devil is a liar. It says, he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He gives birth to lies. When we read in the paper, 75% of Americans believe in heaven as a place where those who have led good lives will be eternally rewarded. They have been lied to. And they have been lied to for a long time. They have been lied to by the devil. The next paragraph says, majorities also believe that angels and demons are at work in the world and that miracles occur as they were believed in to in ancient times. I have a booklet over here called Angelology. It sounds like it's just about angels, but it's beyond that. I talk about fallen angels in that booklet, the devil and the demons. We need to study on that. The Bible's clear about it. They're real. They're very real. And they're at work today in our society. I want you to skip to the last paragraph now as we close. It says, but most Americans, even many of the most religiously conservative, have a non-exclusive attitude toward other faiths. 70% of those affiliated with a religion believe that many religions can lead to eternal salvation. About 25% believe there is only one true way to interpret their religion's teachings. A lot of confusion in this world. On the front cover of the, you can't see this very well, the USA Today, it shows two people at the bottom. I guess heaven is supposed to be up here. And it says, believers okay with many paths. And if you look closely, there's all kinds of different ladders right here leading up to heaven. That's what Americans believe. Doesn't matter what religion, as long as you're sincere. Doesn't matter whose name you call on, as long as you're sincere. Many paths. We're okay with that. I want to say last of all, number three, the church needs to get working. If our country's okay with that, the church needs to get working. Number one, God is working. Number two, the devil is working. But number three, the church needs to get working. There are not many paths to heaven. There are not many ladders to heaven. Now, when you begin to say that, you are immediately accused of being intolerant. But I remind you that the claims of Christ were written and recorded before I was ever born, thousands of years ago. They're not my ideas. I didn't make them up. If I just preach the claims of Christ, I'm not meaning to be intolerant. I'm just trying to preach what he said. The claims of Christ. In John 10 and verse number 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter understood that to mean this when he quoted in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There are three witnesses in the Bible that say this, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the only way. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, well, what about the other religions? What if they're very, very sincere? Sincerity is not the way to heaven. Faith in Christ is the way to heaven. You understand? I want to just try to illustrate something. I hope you'll understand this as I close. What if I decided today to start a religion? And I decided in my own mind to create a deity. And I named my deity Artemis. You of this generation will think I'm wacky. Just like all, like Muhammad, Joseph Smith, these people are running out of town on a rail. They were wacky, but somehow their teachings got a grip with a few people. Charles Taze Russell. A few people got a grip into them. And it built a little bit more the next generation. And a little bit more, and a little bit more. And some of those religions that people created grew to hundreds of followers. Some grew to thousands of followers. Some grew to millions of followers. A couple grew to a billion followers. But it was all made up in someone's mind once, just like Artemis. Now let's say we fast forward 500-600 years from now and there's thousands and thousands of people believing in Artemis. Is he real? Is he a way to heaven? Is he a path? Is he a ladder? Or was he just made up in someone's mind? Would someone be intolerant 500 years ago, 500 years from now, if they said, Artemis is not the way to heaven? Would they be intolerant? Or would they just be preaching the claims of Christ? Folks, the claims of Christ demand a verdict in your heart. They demand a verdict. He said, I came down from heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He said that. He was so clear that his claims demand a verdict from every one of us. We must say this morning, he is right. Or we must say, these are the ravagings and the ramblings of a lunatic. But there is no in-between. There's no neutral about Jesus Christ. And you know something? He wanted it that way. He wanted it that way. There's no in between. You cannot believe the claims of Christ and also believe that Islam is a way to heaven. You cannot believe the claims of Christ and also believe Hindu is a way to heaven. You cannot believe the claims of Christ and believe any other religion or any other prophet or any other teaching is the way to heaven. You cannot. You got to decide. Who is Jesus? Our country's confused. We live in a mission field of America. But there is an advantage. As we go out, 92% believe in God. We got a starting point. And we can say to them, I've met that God. He came to this earth once. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died for us on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. He's the only one that rose from the grave victorious. He's alive forevermore. I met that God. He's real. And we can help end some of the confusion in our country. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd bless our invitation. We pray you'd help us, Lord. Help our nation. We thank you as we approach Independence Day. We thank you for our liberty, our freedom. We believe in that document that says we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Lord Jesus, we believe that you are Lord. And we believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we pray that people would come to Christ. We would pray that we would also pray for our nation. Lord, you've been at work because people believe in you. The devil's been at work because there's so much false doctrine about hell, about salvation. And now, Lord, the church needs to get to work, and that's us, taking the truth out, making it crystal clear to people that you are the way. We're not intolerant, Lord. We're just preaching your word. We're just preaching your word. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our